Are you ready to start something new? So this series is called Hall of Faith. It's the title of today's message. It's also the title of the series. And we're going to be talking about faith for quite a few weeks to come. If you look at the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you'll see more than 20 examples of faith from the Old Testament. And so it occurred to me looking at this, if I looked at each example, we could learn from those people that are called out for their faithfulness, what God calls faithfulness and what we can strive for in our own walk with Him. We're going to concentrate on one or two of these people each week until Advent, and then we'll shift into an Advent focus. And then after Christmas, we'll continue it until we are done with it. So why did I choose this? You know, believe it or not, it's not a given what a pastor preaches on. If you're like the Bethany congregation, it's easy for me because they follow something called the lectionary. Some of you that have been in church for years and years understand what the lectionary is. It's a cycle of passages through the Bible, and it's a three-year cycle. And so each week, I have the passages, and I choose out of those four passages what one I feel I need to preach for that congregation for that Sunday. And so, interestingly, today's passage over there came from the book of Mark, so that was nice, because we went through the entire Gospel of Mark over here, so some of my work was done for me. This is different. When I have the freedom to pray and to say, okay, for this time, for this people, Lord, what do you want me to say? And the message that I received is we need to understand faith in a deep, deep way. I think about this church, and I think about the history that I know of this church in the last 15 or 20 years, not to mention before that, and I think about the examples of faith you have already shown as a congregation before I ever came. Once upon a time, this church faced a decision whether to continue. Some of you will remember back to that time. And by faith, this congregation said, no way are we closing our doors. We are called to continue. That took faith. By faith, Mission Covenant called its first permanent pastor in years when Pastor Jeff was called and committed to compensate him, to provide a home for him and for Barbara, and took on that responsibility. That was not as logical as you may think. By faith, this congregation stepped out. And then by faith, you took a really crazy step. And you called a pastor from Seattle and you said, we're going to pay to move her here. We're going to fix up that parsonage. We're going to not only pay her for her time, but we're going to provide the benefits that the covenant says a pastor should receive, which was not something this church had done before. And you committed to do that out of faith. That is why I am here, because I saw that faith. And I thought, wow, there's a congregation that I would love to pastor. And it made sense. And now, by faith, this church has voted to take on a property that by all logic, we can't afford. We don't have enough people. We don't have enough resources. But by faith, we have said, yes. We're going to take this. We need to know now how to live that kind of faith that pleases God and that He rewards. So that is why I've chosen this and feel called to preach this series to you. So my first question is, what is faith? What is faith? What does it mean? Believing in something you don't see. That verse that Will read at the beginning, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Okay, believing in something you don't see. It can be believing in something you do see. It can be. In the original language that this passage comes from, we learn something about faith. And by the way, somebody impress me. What language is Hebrews written in? Anybody know? You're going to guess it's Greek. It's not. Okay, here's your academic fact for today. This is the only book in the Bible written in Aramaic. It is written in the spoken language. What did one of you say? I see you smiling. Somebody's Kenzen. Well, you should have said it. We could have said, hey, Ken, good job. Aramaic was the dialect spoken by Jesus and by the disciples of the time. Greek, as we know it in Scripture, was the written language. Aramaic, that doesn't really make sense to us with our English right now, but back then it did. There was a formal way of writing and then a less formal way of speaking. Hebrews was written in Aramaic. It's the only one in the entire Bible. It says, for its definition of faith, conviction of the truth of anything. Okay? That's what faith is. Being convicted that something is true. Believing in something. Believing with the idea of trust and confidence in that something you believe. In God, in Christ. So, I'm going to give you three examples, and I want you to tell me, one at a time, which one is an example of faith. Okay, ready? Here's my statement. I think God will come through for us. As we take on Bethany, I think He will come through for us. Is that faith? Why? Oh, yes. How about this? I believe God will come through for us. Amen. Not good enough. Not good enough. People today believe lots of things. They believe lots of things, and people shift with the wind. Don't they? This is scriptural. Shift with the wind. Tammy nailed it a moment ago. I know God is going to come through for us. That is what faith is. I know it. And it's not popular. Not in today's culture. People, the young people, Hunter, that I just did the wedding. Aunt Mary, you can't know anything for sure. Oh, yes, I can. Oh, yes, I can. Faith is a spiritual gift. Did you know that? In 1 Corinthians 12, it's one of the listed spiritual gifts. So sometimes a person has a supernatural amount of faith. Not just the normal everyday faith. And they're able to claim things. People who are martyred for the faith have a supernatural gift of faith. Let me ask you this. What does the Bible say about a lack of faith? What happens when we don't have faith? Nothing? Well, I'm glad I'm preaching. It's obvious we need to do this, okay? So, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, which is God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who seek Him. So if we don't have faith, we are not pleasing God. John 5:24. Truly, truly, it's Jesus talking. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. If you don't believe, if you don't have faith, you don't have eternal life. Right? Matthew 13:58. Some of you will remember this when Jesus goes back to His hometown and they reject Him. They're saying, who is He? Isn't he Mary's son? Doesn't he have these brothers and sisters? And it says, He did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. We limit God when we do not believe. So give me some examples in the Bible about a lack of faith. Who had a lack of faith in the Bible? I bet you can come up with some. Doubting Thomas. Wow, he's a famous one, isn't he? How'd you like? You don't want to be known by that. I don't want to be known as Doubting Mary. That would be embarrassing and convicting. Okay, we got Doubting Thomas. Who else do we have? Say that again. Sacrifice?
No. With the birth of
Zacharias. I'm sorry. I didn't understand what you said. Yes. He didn't believe. He's like, what? What? I'm an old man. Who else was an old man that had a baby?
Abraham
had a... Then Sarah laughed. His wife laughed about it. There's some lack of faith. I don't blame her. I'm glad that, I mean, if God came to me and said, hey, Mary, you're going to have a baby. What? Lots of reasons why that just doesn't work for me. If God says so, okay, fine, but who else had a lack of faith? Jesus said to the disciples, ye of little faith. When did that happen? In the boat. When they were afraid of the storm. There's so many examples, so many in the Bible. You could do a whole study going through the Bible, those that didn't believe and what happened in that. In verse 3 of the passage that Will read, it says this, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. So my question is, do you believe that? It's fun when I talk to the youth because they're honest. We don't answer. I don't want anybody to know. I'm not sure. I don't want anybody to know. The youth will come right out and say, yeah, I don't. In fact, we've had this discussion. Do we know that God created the universe? Do we know it? There's a huge debate, is there not? Creation versus evolution. People get into massive battles about it. I've been in battles with people about it. How can we be sure that God created? What role does faith play? There's a theologian by the name of Anselm. You don't need to remember that word. But he wrote a whole thing on faith and understanding. So when we try to understand something, he said, it's not about understanding leading to faith. Okay? Think about what that means. Understanding leading to faith means I have enough facts to believe. Right? And that's the atheist. That's my nephew. That's my brother-in-law. It's like, you prove to me that God exists and I'll believe in him. You prove it to me. Up here. The facts have to add up. You prove to me that he created the universe. Prove it to me. That's understanding seeking faith. And Anselm said, that's backwards. You need to have faith to understand. Without faith, we don't have the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, we can't get there. We just can't. So many scientists today, and I'm not going to spend much time on this because this is more of a class. We could talk about it in another context. But many scientists say that evolution disproves creation. Yes? You're looking at me like, I can't believe you're talking about this. What?
Some do, some don't.
Well, I said many. I didn't say all. Okay? And I refrained from saying most because I didn't have my statistics to be sure, but many say that that is the case. So does it? Does evolution disprove creation? Okay, so we can have a great conversation about how you know that, because I agree with you. So two questions from the standpoint, just an exercise to help you think in this way. Two questions from the standpoint of faith seeking understanding. Okay. Can evolution explain the process by which God created? Could it be that as you learn about evolution, the true points, because there's a lot of falseness in evolution, but can it point to how God created, to the sequence that he created? Some people go there. This is my favorite. You ready? This. How many of you have had this conversation with people? Oh, you should be having these conversations. I'm serious. These are blocks to belief. This is an important one. And again, the youth went there. They were desperate to know. And I told them, I said, okay, I want you to think about something. Is it possible that God created an old earth? Do you understand what I mean by that? In the Garden of Eden, did the tree trunks have rings in them? Right? What are rings in the tree? How many years old they are? When it sprang, if we look at it literally, sprang from creation, and there's the tree, did it have rings in it? Wow, could it be that God created the earth to have all of these elements just to enjoy us trying to figure it out? That's the God I follow. He loves watching his creatures. So you remember that, okay? You promise me. He called me to the ministry, Tammy Lynn. He's got a great sense of humor. But think about that. It takes the breath out of an atheist, I can tell you. When I told my nephew Hunter that, he was like, and I'm like, did Adam have a belly button? Serious. This is going to be your Sunday afternoon discussion. I can see it already. The rest of the sermon, I may as well forget. But let's go back to the Bible. An example of both faith and lack of faith in one story. Okay, this is from the book of Numbers. It's one that we all read daily, right? Okay, Numbers 13, starting with verse 26. This is when Moses has sent out the spies into the promised land, into Canaan. Okay? And they come back to report. And it says, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. Do you remember what the fruit is? A bunch of grapes so big that it takes two men with it attached to a pole to carry it. That's some serious grapes. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, and listen carefully, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. I love this verse. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. Now, the Nephilim, when you do research into the Bible, they're believed to have been somewhere between 7 and 8 feet tall. Okay, these are big guys. These are centers on the basketball team. Right? Once upon a time, I was a basketball fan. A long time ago. Okay? Really big people. Think Goliath and the Philistines. Okay? And so, do we see ourselves as grasshoppers? When we look at Bethany, do we see ourselves as grasshoppers? Or do we join Caleb in saying, we should go up and take possession of the property, for we can certainly do it. That's faith. That's faith. And what happens when they refuse to go into the promised land? Because there are consequences for lack of faith. Do you remember? They're sentenced to wander in that, out in the desert for 40 years before they finally go over into the promised. Let's don't wait 40 years. Let's don't do it. So I've heard God tell me to do illogical things many times. Many times. And I've learned that if he asks me to do something illogical, if that's what I am perceiving, I can be pretty sure it's God. Because illogical is my call. Okay? So, my first illogical story is when God told me to resign from my teaching position. Not this time, not for this. This is the first time he told me. I just got this overwhelming sense that I needed to resign. And it made no sense. How are we going to pay the bills? My ex-husband's like, you're doing what? I can't explain it. I just know I'm supposed to resign. I could not get that out of my head. I couldn't get it out of my head. Last day of school, went into my principal's office, handed him a letter of resignation. And he was shocked. He said, you can't do that. He said, I'm retiring in 4 years. You need to teach until then. And I said, I can't. I said, God is calling me to do something, and I have no idea what it was. I remember sitting in the car, and I called my pastor. I said, Steve, I just resigned from my teaching job. He said, well, I thought you already done that. I said, no, I just did it. You didn't. And I said, you know what? I took a leap of faith. It's the coolest thing I've ever done. Coolest thing. And it took 3 months before God said, go to seminary. Go to seminary. You're supposed to be a pastor. Go to seminary. What? What? It's like, I can't go to seminary. Can't go to seminary. Second one was when I resigned from my church. And I had been a pastor there for 10 years. I'd been lead pastor for 2 years. I loved that church. I came up through that church. I attended for a total of 18 years. And God said, it's time. And I'm like, how am I going to pay the bills? By this time, I was single. I had nothing to fall back on. And I'm thinking, why? And it was painful. It was hard. And I made the decision. It was confirmed by somebody very important to me. And it was so interesting because I said, yes, I need to do that. And I committed to it. And that day, I got an email from somebody in the church who didn't like me. Can you believe that? There are people who don't like me. And plenty of people. But this guy was somebody I'd had trouble with for 10 years. And so any email I would get from him would not have been something I would expect to be nice. And I opened the email. And he said, Mary, I don't understand why I need to send this to you. But God has told me to send you this verse. And I know you know it really, really well. But I was supposed to send it to you right now. And it had been sent 10 minutes before I opened the email. You know what the verse was? Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Wow. And then I resigned a second time. For my teaching. I went back to teaching. God provided the job. And I resigned a second time because of you. God said, go to Massachusetts. I'm like, what? What? Go. Well, it wasn't Massachusetts that was a problem. It was leaving everything. You know, that was such a shock. But it was totally what I was supposed to do. That's what faith is. Taking on Bethany. As their pastor, that was crazy. But look how God did. Look what he did. Look what he did and how he orchestrated everything. Without those leaps of faith, I would not have the opportunity to see God in the way I've been able to see him. Because when we play it safe, we don't get to do that. We don't get to see what will happen. What have you done? And what has our church done? They can only be explained by God's divine intervention. That's the way we're called to live. That's the way we're called to live. And having a lack of plan is uncomfortable. But that's okay because God has the plan. There's a song by Michael W. Smith from a movie that was like a B movie. And it didn't do super well in the theaters, but I actually own it because I love it. It's called Second Chance. And he's a pastor's son who's always played it safe. And he encounters a pastor of another church and gets challenged to do crazy things. And the song that goes along with that movie has these words. Hold my feet. This is a prayer. Hold my feet to the fire till I'm breaking a sweat, till I never forget your calling. Keep me on the line. Give me the nerve. Here it's all in the serve. Locked in the diamond lane. That's the carpool lane. I kept driving past it. Better to be safe than learn what you're about. Give me another chance to go where you're going now. I'm here to walk it out. And then there's another one. There are too many songs. But listen to this one. This is by Casting Crowns. It's called Caught in the Middle. And I love this because this is where it's so easy to be. Just how close can I get, Lord, to my surrender without losing all control? Right? We sing I surrender all, but we really mean I surrender some. Yes? Fearless warriors in a picket fence. Reckless abandon wrapped in common sense. Deep water faith in the shallow end. And we're caught in the middle. With eyes wide open to the differences, the God we want and the God who is. Will we trade our dreams for His? Or are we caught in the middle? We are not going to be a congregation that's caught in the middle. That's not who we're called to be. Our verse 1 from today says, faith is the confidence in what we hope for, assurance about what we do not see. Can we have confidence? Can we know that God will work His will for us? Can we know that? Yes. And He'll surprise us with how it all works out. It won't necessarily be a clean path. It won't necessarily be a smooth path. But we know that He has plans for us, plans to prosper and not harm us, plans to give us a hope and a future. Amen? Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, you know there's a verse that says, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, help our unbelief. Give us confidence. Have us claim your truth. And to boldly live into your will for us. Lord, let us be a church that is known for its faith. Lord, we love you and we will trust you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.